with me in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 12. Isaiah chapter 12, which is found on 1078 in your pew Bibles. Isaiah chapter 12. This song comes kind of the pinnacle of the first 11 chapters of the book of Isaiah. Not only has God expressed His love and His frustration with His people and warned them of the coming judgment, but He also here expresses hope for them. That in the midst of such trouble, they can look forward to the day when salvation comes. Isaiah chapter 12. In that day, you will say, I will praise you, O Lord. Although you were angry with me, your anger has turned away, and you have comforted me. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. With joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. In that day, you will say, give thanks to the Lord. Call on His name. Make known among the nations what He has done. And proclaim that His name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for He has done glorious things. Let this be known through all the world. Shout aloud and sing for joy, people of Zion. For great is the Holy One of Israel among you. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we ask, O Lord, Father, that we would listen to you now as we hear your word, that your Holy Spirit would open up our hearts. We ask, O Lord, that you would help me to focus and help me in my weakness to be faithful in applying your word this morning. Lord, help us to listen carefully to you and to be changed more and more into the image of Christ, our Savior. It is in His name we pray. Amen. There was a young man, and he got involved in the life of the street. He actually, it's an interesting thing that I've learned since I've worked here, is that one of the most, among the young men who live in our neighborhoods, one of the most exalted people is the higher up drug dealers. And this young man looked up to those guys. Why would you say? Why would he look up to them? Because they have money. In a single night, one of these guys can make $3,000. In a single night. A good night would be $3,000. They drive the nice cars. They wear the expensive clothing. They get women galore. They are feared when they walk down the street or drive down the street. They are, in some ways, the idols of our young men. And yet, this young man looked up to them and got involved in the life of the street. He got entangled. He thought, well, if I just work hard enough and work smart enough and I'm tough enough and get in with the right people and surround myself with the right protection, that I'm going to climb that ladder and be like him one day. I'll be feared. I'll have a nice car. It's a very inviting thing. Do that, we'll work a minimum wage job. Yeah, sure, the consequences are extremely dangerous and troubling. But the glory is so high. So one day he was in deep he was entangled and he began to worry about his own safety, his life, in a new way. He couldn't trust his associates. He couldn't trust those around him. He began to worry about the police. And he wanted a way out. He was desperate. He wanted a way out. What could he do? Where could he turn? Where would he look? This song today is a song he needed to find. It's a song not only he needed to find, but that all of us need to find and to sing. It's a song for those who are in troubled circumstances. It's a song for those who are experiencing difficulties. This song was given to a people who were facing exile. You might say, you know, if you're just here in Isaiah chapter 12, you might say, wow, this is almost abrupt in the book of Isaiah, isn't it? Because of all the judgment that's coming, because of the exile that's coming. But it follows the promise of the Messiah. It follows the promise of hope, the shoot of Jesse, of the stump of Jesse. And here we find great hope. And here, this song is meant for those of us who are in troubled circumstances. When things are good, yes, you can look at this song and sing it, and it's not that difficult. But those who are burdened, those who are depressed, those who see circumstances that never get better, this song is also for them. It is for me. I've had a rough 2 months. And I came across this song. And on the one hand, it seemed kind of distant to me because I couldn't feel it in my heart at the time I came to it. But it intrigued me. And I meditated on it more and more. And it lifted me up out of the depths. So if you're in the depths this morning, if your life is entangled in ways you don't want it to be entangled, if you want freedom, if you want peace, this song is for you. Where do you go ultimately when you're facing trouble? Go to this song. Go back. And the song teaches us to go back to the Lord. So can you say today with this song, you were once angry with me. Speaking to God Himself. You were once angry with me. Can you say that? One thing that I feel like in some ways my home life now is a psychology class, because I have twin boys and I watch the two of them interact and watch them develop in ways that I think I wouldn't see so much with one child. One of the things that they do is they get angry at each other, and it's kind of funny sometimes. I almost enjoy it. Not always, but I almost enjoy it. It's funny when you watch these kids, it just... They get angry at each other. Titus grabs Micah's toy, and then Micah grabs it back, and then Titus gets angry, grabs it back. Or if Micah touches a toy Titus doesn't want him to touch. But I'm amazed how quickly they forgive each other. They have not learned yet to bottle up their anger. They have not learned yet to hold grudges. We are masters at that. And unfortunately, we in the church are masters of that. That's why the Lord encourages us to do what with our anger and our grudges? To deal with it quickly. But here, the most amazing thing, when we come to the gospel teaches us that God was once angry with us. God was once angry with us. The King of the universe, the one who's all-knowing, the one who's all-powerful, who doesn't forget anything. He was angry with our sin. But he turns away from that anger. Verse 1a, I will praise you, O Lord, although you were angry with me. Although you were angry with me, I will praise you. Although you were angry with me, the Lord was very angry with Israel. He had shown them great love. We looked at that passage earlier in Isaiah chapter 5 of the great love. God is saying there, what more could I have done for you? I've bent over backwards for you. And see, he wasn't finished with the great love he was going to show them back when he's talking about the vineyard. He was going to send his one and only son for Israel and for the sake of the world. But here, what more could I have done for you? What more could I have done for you? I love you. And what have you done? You've walked away from me. What more could I have done for you? So I'm angry with you. God's anger is motivated by His love. Some people think that, well, God is just... they have this picture of God in heaven, of just this cranky old guy who kind of like, I don't like what they're doing and it annoys me. That's not the picture of God. He's holy. He's pure. He's love. He's created His creation. It's good. It's wonderful. And what have we done? We've trashed it. You ever hear of, recently there's been some major painting heists? People have stolen great art. I think, oh, that's such a shame. Because of, they could destroy them in their effort to make money off of it. And a Pablo Picasso may never be replaced. We've made a mess of our world. We've looked at each other with hatred. We've looked at God in hatred, even though His great love for us, and here His great love for Israel, for Judah. But they kept moving away from Him. So God is angry, not because He likes being angry or is arbitrary, but out of His holiness, out of His great love. Although you are angry for me, angry with me. Continuing in verse 1, your anger has turned away, and you have what? You have comforted me. Though you were angry with me, though you saw my sin, though you saw the sin of Israel, the sin of Judah, your anger has turned away, and you have comforted me. Amen? Isn't that wonderful words? How quick His anger is to turn away and forgive those He loves. And what we see is ultimately we find the comfort. You know, where is the story all going? The story ends up at the cross. God, even here through the prophet Isaiah, promising to shoot out of Jesse, out of the stump of Jesse. Ultimately, the story ends at the cross and continues with the blessing He has given us. So where do you find your comfort now? Where does God's anger turn away from you? It comes at the cross. You find comfort at the cross of Jesus Christ. Amen? That is where His anger turns away and you find comfort. So is this your story? Is this your story? Can you say amen to, you were once angry with me. Although you were angry with me, now your anger has turned away. And as I look to you, I find my comfort. I find my comfort because I found it in the cross. And you say, you were once angry with me. Although you were angry with me, your anger has turned away. I found comfort in you. Can you say, today He has become my salvation? Can you say, today He has become my salvation? What is salvation? I think in some sense, each one of us, whether you're 5 or whether you're 60, whether you're 70, however, whether you're 30, each one of you has this thing or this person or this motivation within you to latch on to something or someone or some idea that motivates you, that gets you up in the morning. That, whatever that is, that's your salvation. That's what keeps you going. Whatever that is. And in this song, he says, today you have become my salvation. Verse 2, surely God is my salvation. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. God is not automatically your salvation. Many people think that, they're okay the way they are. God accepts them just the way they are, and that's fine. You know, they're not really, what God rejects is the really bad people. in this world, the murderers, the ones who are getting involved in all sorts of things they shouldn't be getting involved in. But what is the truth? All of us have fallen short of His glory. All of us, by default, need to find, He must become for us He must become for us our salvation. Amen? He must become for us our salvation. You must be able to see that He is the one that rescues you. He is becomes then the center of your life. He's the one that gets you up in the morning. He's the one from the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He's the one who then motivates you to live your life. Now, some of you have never had that experience before. Some of you have never said, well, that's my one true thing. That's the center of my life. I live day in, day out for Jesus Christ. Some of you have never said that before. Some of you have said that before, but you're going through a period right now where your circumstances or whatever it is, you felt depressed, and you're not saying that. You would say, well, He was at once the motivation for my life, but now I can't really see Him. I'm having trouble saying with all my heart that He is my salvation. And some of you, I know, are right there with the writer of this, with Isaiah here, and saying, He is my salvation. He has become my salvation. As he says to Israel, this is what you're going to say one day. So where are you today? He becomes your salvation in Jesus Christ. He becomes your salvation when you say, Lord, I've screwed up. I've messed up. I know it. I know my own heart. And I'm desperate for a way out, like that young man we talked about earlier. I'm desperate for a way out. I can't stand to live another day without you. Lord, I'm a sinner. Please forgive me. Please forgive me. Jesus is my only hope. He is my salvation. He has become my salvation. Then what has He become for you? Once He's become your salvation, He becomes your strength. Like I said earlier, your motivation to live life. Your strength. The reason why you do what you do. You're not just getting through life anymore. You're living because of Him. Amen? He's my strength. And then He's also not just your strength, but He's my what? Song. I kind of envision it like this. He's your song, not just, okay, you come here and sing a song in church and then you forget what you sung or you're not paying attention to the words or whatever it is. He's your song. I'm walking down the street and I'm singing a song. He's my song. He's my song. I'm filled with joy. I'm glad because I know Him. He's my salvation. He's my song. I'm not feeling any trouble right now. Why? Because He's my song. He's my strength. He's my salvation. Amen? It is Him who becomes these things for you in Jesus Christ. And that was the hope of Israel, even in this passage. Verse 2, I will trust and not be afraid. Some of you are more carefree than some of us. Some of us are very anxious. Some of us feel fear. We're worried about what's coming tomorrow. We're worried about what's going to happen when we walk out the church. Once He's your salvation, once He's your strength, once He's your song, then you can say, I will trust and not be afraid. I can walk these streets trusting in You. I can meet people. I can share the good news and not be afraid. Why? Because I'm so enamored with what You have done for me, Lord. My salvation, my strength, my song. I will trust and not be afraid. Fear paralyzes. The love of God frees us to love. He is my salvation. Can you say this morning, He is your salvation? Can you say this morning, He is your strength? Can you say this morning, He is your song? Then once you've discovered just how wonderful He is as your salvation, you can say along with the Israelites here, along with Judah, along with what Isaiah teaches us here, verse 3, with joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. With joy! Joy, exuberance, Joy, I'm telling you, joy just, when you feel joy, and it's not purely a feeling, but when you feel joy, when you're experiencing the joy of the Lord, it's motivating. It's transforming. Sometimes it's like you're walking on clouds. You're just so enamored by Him, so in love with Him, that it's possessing Him, possessing you to love in ways you never expected, to say things and encourage people and take steps out in faith that you never, ever expected before, so that you can say only the transformation of God working in me could produce this type of fruit. Joy. Joy. Drink deeply of the wells of salvation. Drink deeply. Some of you in the back there love to go to Rita's on a day like today. Actually, it's really coming this week. 98 degrees, I heard. Some of you are going to be, when you hear that ice cream truck, even on the next block, you're going to be running to the ice cream truck, getting ice pops and water ice and soft serve ice cream cones. That's the type of thing, the type of hunger we need, the type of thirst we need. We, at the end of the Isaiah 5 passage that we read, in verse 13, Isaiah talked about a thirst that his people would have, a thirst. Here he's talking about you will draw joy from the wells of salvation. You are going to drink deeply from the wells of salvation and satisfy that thirst. Amen? And that's, we have to realize that we are desperate for Him. We've got to realize that we have made Him angry by our sin, but that He comforts us, that He gives us His salvation, and that we can drink deeply and enjoy that salvation. And then once you're in the place where you're enjoying the salvation, where you're enjoying Him who is your salvation, you can respond. You can respond by with thanks, with singing, and with shouting. And it's almost as if once you know He's your salvation, once you know how good He is, it's almost natural. When someone does something nice for you, what do? You thank them. You're grateful to them. When something exciting happens, like if the United States, well, I don't know how many World Cup fans there are in here. If the United States won the World Cup, I'd be shouting. And a couple of you in here would be shouting too. If the Phillies won the World Series again this year, you would be shouting. It's natural. It's rising up. Why? Because you get it. You understand what's happened and you're excited about it. Here in Isaiah, he's saying, once God is your salvation, once God is your strength, once God gives you that joy, you'll be shouting, you'll be thanking, you'll be singing. You can't contain it. It's like He's pouring something in your cup, and your cup is just overflowing. And He's keep pouring it in. We must spend more time, and not just more time, but look to the Lord so that He can concentrate on Him as our salvation. Then we can respond like this. Verses 4 and 6. Give thanks to the Lord. Call on His name. Make known among the nations what He has done. And proclaim that His name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for He has done glorious things. Let this be known to all the world. Shout aloud and sing for joy, people of Zion. It's almost as if there's all these wonderful words. Shout, sing, give thanks, make known His name to the nations. One of the most wonderful things that I can do to motivate me to evangelize, to spread the good news, is just concentrate on how good He is. Concentrate on what He's done for me, what He's done for us. Amen? And then go out and just... then it's just oozing from me. I'm spitting it out all over the place. It's so wonderful. I can't contain myself. I'm walking up to complete strangers and meeting them because it's so wonderful. Amen? And that's what will happen. You will begin to naturally respond because it's a part of you. It's not artificial. It's not something that's not a program. It's not something tacked on. It's not something that, oh, your church does, but you have no real part in it. Or you pray for it, but you're distant from it. No, it's just coming up. It's a lifestyle. It's part of you at the deepest levels of who you are. And so you go out and you say, Lord, You are so wonderful, and You proclaim it to the nations. We have a wonderful opportunity here in South Philadelphia. It's amazing to me. Yesterday in the park, in half an hour, I met three new people groups that I didn't know were here. I had no idea. I didn't put it on my list of peoples to pray for. A group from Thailand, a group from Nepal, and a group from Bhutan, which probably many of you don't know where Bhutan is. I had to look it up just to make sure. I think it's that little country over by India. Bhutan. Have you ever met someone from Bhutan? Some of you may have met people from Bhutan over here. So, It's truly amazing, and I was told today that someone met some people from Algeria who live in these neighborhoods. And I've heard from Lebanon, from Syria, from Egypt. They're all people, the nations of the world are gathering at our doorstep. And so there's a wonderful opportunity for us, and we're already doing it. But to expand that and to love people for Jesus from all over the world, right out these doors, right in our midst. Respond, shout, sing, thank Him for what He has done. Amen? But there's one last thing here. Why do you do this? What's the essence of evangelizing? Or we could use a more negative word in the world, proselytizing. Let's use a more positive word, sharing the good news, which in some ways might be very biblical. Sharing the gospel, sharing God's love with others. What's the rationale? First, we declare His great deeds. See what He says here. Make known among the nations what He has done and proclaim that His name is exalted. All you got to do is talk about Him. All you got to do is talk about His love. All you got to do is show that it means something to you in your life, and that will go a long way with people. And pray for them. And we pray that the Holy Spirit would work in their hearts. Amen? So, the other thing here is, and I thought this was just wonderful. Verse 6. Why can we respond like this? Verse 6 at the end. For great is the Holy One of Israel among you. What is that? Great is the Holy One of Israel among you. Here it's talking about the Holy One of Israel dwelling in the midst of the temple. Who's the temple today? The church. You are His temple. Great is the Holy One who dwells in your midst, who's dwelling in your household, who's dwelling in this church right now. And whether we're here gathered together worshiping His name or separate, He is still dwelling among us. Once you leave this building, does not mean you're away from church. You are in church all the time. Amen? That scare some of you, or you are in church all the time. Amen? He is among you. It's the Emmanuel principle. Jesus Christ walked among us. He went to the cross for us. He rose from the dead for us. He ascended into heaven. He sent His Holy Spirit so that now in our presence, in our hearts and in our church, He could dwell in our midst and propel us to spread the good news among the nations. That is exciting. Amen? Is it exciting?
Yeah.
No, yeah, I know. I'm just, all right, we're done today. No, He is in your midst. The living God is in your very midst. He is among us. The Holy One, the One who was once angry with you, is here loving you because of what Jesus Christ has done. He is dwelling in your hearts, even though we still sin. He is among you. Isn't that exciting, people of God?
Yeah.
Amen. This young man, and this is a true story, this young man fell to his knees. He was afraid. He was afraid that he was going to lose his life for going to prison. He fell to his knees, and the Lord that day became his salvation. That the Lord that day became his salvation. He turned himself over to the Lord, and the Lord did save him out of those circumstances. Amen? Can you say today that the Lord is my salvation? Can you say today that the Lord has become my salvation? Let me hear you say it. The Lord is my salvation. Amen. The Lord is my salvation. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that you have become for us our salvation. Lord, may we enjoy it and be motivated as we draw deep from the wells of salvation and are excited to share your good news, to sing your praises, to give thanks to you, to respond and shout aloud that you are great. Thank you, Lord, for the unique place you've put us, and help us, O Lord, to love those around us with your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and